Hey guys, in the previous episode, I mentioned that the primary philosophy that I was taking into the new year was iterative design, and I discussed the broad implications of its use. I also talked about increased outputs being a core factor in achieving a culmination of success over time. So, with those things in mind, I felt interested in specifically studying the lives of high output individuals. People who did what they did numerous times over the course of their careers that are now recognized for their many contributions. Now, this is a broad category, since just about every field has one or several such individuals who are held in high esteem. There are many examples of such people in sports and business, but I wanted something more off the beaten path that also aligned with my unique interests. I decided to take a look into the world of prolific writing and to try to figure out what systems and mindsets had allowed any one of the prolific writers of history to produce miniature libraries all on their own. One of the greatest examples of this was Isaac Asimov, one of the great authors of the 20th century, who dedicated some 53 years of his life to professional writing. And when I imply that prolific writers are capable of producing miniature libraries, I really mean it. Asimov authored or edited nearly 500 books in his career, and the subject matter of those books placed his work in nearly every major category of the Dewey Decimal System. So, how did he do it? What secret did he possess that other less prolific authors lacked? Was it that he was more intelligent than they were? Perhaps, but after reading his autobiography, I am convinced that his natural intelligence was only a small factor of his extreme prolificity. And my object in producing this episode is to reveal the major factors that drove his ability to produce more work in less time for an extended period of time. So let's jump into the details of his life, and then I'll share what I learned from Mr. Asimov. Isaac Asimov was born sometime in late 1919 or early 1920 in Petrovichy, Russia. His family members were wheat millers by trade, and conditions weren't the best where they lived. In fact, when Isaac was just 1 year old, a sickness swept through the region, and of the 17 babies that contracted pneumonia, only Isaac survived. A few years later, in search of a better life, the Asimovs immigrated to the U.S., settling down in Brooklyn, New York. There, they opened and operated a series of candy shops which would serve as the primary backdrop of Isaac's childhood. Now, growing up in a candy shop, you would expect Isaac to develop a fixation for edible treats. But early on, he showed interest in something else. In this case, it was the Pulp Fiction magazines that were displayed for sale in the candy shop. They were cheaply produced comics and short stories that were printed on the lowest quality of paper, and the contents weren't much better. In fact, Isaac's father tried to discourage his reading the junk. However, Isaac insisted that it was a wholesome activity and continued to devour each edition that arrived, carefully reading them between candy store shoppers and being cautious to not damage the delicate paper as he turned each page. Now, Isaac's father had a strong work ethic and expected the entire family to participate in running the candy store, including Isaac and his two siblings. As the oldest child, much of the work fell to Isaac to complete, and a disciplined schedule was ingrained in him from an early age. He was up before 6 a.m., he would work the candy store before school, attend school, and then work the store again until closing. Luckily, there was a steady supply of fresh Pulp Fiction magazines to read, so he rarely experienced boredom. Despite the heavy schedule, Isaac thrived in school, graduating early and attending Columbia University. There, he got a degree in chemistry since the possibility of being a full-time professional writer had not yet occurred to him. In his free time, he did begin to produce short stories along the lines of the science fiction pulp magazines that he loved to read. And in his first attempt at publication, his story was rejected by the publishers. Although the rejection may have been discouraging, Isaac continued to hone his craft and found his first literary success in 1939 with his short story titled Marooned Off Vesta. 2 years later, he would outdo this story, producing what he and many others recognized to be his greatest singular work of all time. This story, titled Nightfall, contains a unique plot about a planet that experiences perpetual sunshine, only facing darkness once every 1,000 years due to an eclipse event that blocks out the 7 suns that surround it. As you can imagine, the inhabitants of this planet go wild during this highly anticipated event, And Isaac detailed all of these things in his story, which later went on to win awards even decades after it was published. It's notable that Isaac managed to write this story at only 21 years old. So right away, Isaac is starting to get a feel for his new hobby, and it very quickly begins to take center stage in his life. He would continue to write in every bit of spare time he could get outside of work and relationship obligations. And he did so on the side of his career, which was teaching chemistry at a university. But in 1957, he was actually dismissed from his teaching job. He was 37 years old and supposed to be in the prime of his career. This happened for multiple reasons, one being that he didn't get along with all of his coworkers. But it was mostly because he refused to engage in research work that was a major part of his job description. After losing his job, Isaac fully invested himself into his writing, which at that point had established a small but promising trickle of income. From then on, he was a full-time writer. You may or may not be familiar with Isaac Asimov, but I'm certain you will have heard of some of his work, or at least the intellectual descendants of his ideas that he laid out in books. His most famous works include the Foundation series as well as his Robot series. Within these books, he managed to craft an incredible universe that contained things like galactic empires that rise and fall, sentient robots, the Force, and dozens of other concepts that are now widely appreciated in more recent science fiction. It is well known that George Lucas was highly influenced by Asimov's writing, but so was Frank Herbert, who wrote Dune, as well as the author of Elon Musk's favorite science fiction novel, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe. So it's very clear that Isaac Asimov had a knack for sci-fi writing and actually just writing in general. So how did he do this, and what can you and I learn from his extreme prolificity? That's what I set out to discover when I picked up his autobiography, I, Asimov. And this is where I'm hoping to distill the hacks that allowed him to accomplish his incredible status as one of the most prolific writers of all time. When asked what he would do if he only had 6 months to live, Asimov responded, "Type faster." And this is representative of his nature and drive to be prolific. One of the chapters in Asimov's autobiography was dedicated to the subject of being prolific, and Asimov included notes from his understanding of how it works. One statement that he made that really stuck out to me was his insistence that to be prolific, a writer had to maintain one singular love. It couldn't be a love of holding a completed novel in your hands. It could not be a love of submitting a completed manuscript to a publisher. It cannot be a love of seeing your book on a bestsellers list. He said the most important thing for being prolific is to fall in love with the actual production process. Not the end results, but the process itself. Loving the process and spending all your time and effort in that process will undoubtedly encourage a byproduct of prolificity. This was Asimov's secret weapon. He loved to sit in his chair and bang away at his typewriter. It wasn't a necessary evil to accomplishing his distant writing goals. Instead, the writing process was his primary waking interest in life. Next, Asimov brought up how he was able to actually write faster than other writers of the time. He said that most other writers were too concerned with writing the perfect sentence or the perfect paragraph, spending hours playing with different words until they finally came to a conclusion which they were still not completely satisfied with. Asimov said he spent no more than a few moments deciding what to write, estimating that his straightforward writing approach was simple but good enough for the job. It's no wonder that he was able to move through books so quickly. I can certainly relate to the anxieties of the prosaic writer, and Asimov is right to suggest that this is the largest barrier between writers and becoming prolific through a large body of work. This concept also applies to other activities, and I'm starting to see that getting it perfect the first time around is actually an inferior way of developing your abilities. Instead, channel Asimov's self-confidence that it will be all right, and an understanding that learning begins to compound project to project. On a similar note, Asimov was once asked what his warm-up routine looked like. Specifically, what ritual did he perform to prepare him for a writing session, as this sort of thing is common among writers? Asimov responded something along the lines of, "Well, I go, and I sit close enough to the typewriter to the point where I can reach the keys, and then I start writing." As you can see, he was a big fan of the cold start, and did not want any rituals to get in the way of his true passion. I can see both sides of this argument, but if you're trying to be prolific, you should probably do away with the warm-up ritual. Now, the last takeaway that I got out of Asimov's life and career was his sense that every field and occupation involves a pattern. He suggested that world-class performers are intimately familiar with the pattern of their respective fields. Asimov claimed to have developed a sense of the pattern of writing novels. All he had to do was take individual ideas and story elements and then fit them into this familiar pattern that would convert raw ideas into a masterpiece. If you want to be an expert at something, contemporary knowledge will suggest 10,000 hours of invested time. Asimov says to do it until you start to have a sense for the pattern. We are a highly adaptable species. Even small children learn to line up at the sound of a bell or respond to the unspoken rules of their households. Similarly, ordinary people develop a tangible sense for pattern recognition in their field of work, and once they master it, they can practically do it in their sleep. Pattern recognition is actually what I hope to gain through my production of Hacks from the Past. The ability to see a scenario playing out eerily similar to something that happened to Napoleon or, say, another great figure of history will give me a massive leg up on my confidence in responding to that pattern. And that entails my being able to predict with some level of certainty what the future holds. Of course, there is a level of randomness to life, but there is real wisdom that can be gained from historical research, and that's why I do it. It's this concept of pattern recognition that supports statements like, "Leave a millionaire on the streets with $10 in his pocket and he will be a millionaire again in 10 years' time." And this is because he has already learned the patterns that result in a million-dollar net worth. All right, let's review my 5 big takeaways from Isaac Asimov. 1. Work faster. Don't spend all your time in tormented calculation. Focus instead on progress and quality will follow naturally. George R. Martin of the Game of Thrones novels is a famous author who is notorious for his slow writing. He takes his time with every detail, includes intricate storylines, and has a big fear of disappointing his fans. But hey, maybe he doesn't want to be prolific. Asimov convinced himself that if fans didn't like his book, it was probably their fault, not his. This intense confidence may have helped him write more. Asimov found that his momentary intuition was sufficient to produce a perfectly usable sentence when writing. 2. Engage the work all the time. Asimov claimed to be working out the details of his stories in his head as he commuted to work, as he stood in the elevator, or even grocery shopped. This meant that when he sat down at his typewriter, he already knew what he was going to write. He had also maintained the intense candy shop work schedule of his youth, and he stuck to it throughout his life. 3. Fall in love with the process, not the outcome of the project. This is a straightforward approach to increasing productive time because you are actually happy to do the work. 4. Test out the cold start. Don't create unnecessary barriers between you and your most important work. Skipping the morning routine has become more popular these days, but I definitely feel like I need one, so this is a hard pill to swallow. 5. Learn to recognize and respond to patterns. This is a big one, and it's absolutely necessary to being great at any type of work. Reading is a good way to develop pattern recognition in a variety of fields, but nothing beats real experience in terms of true pattern mastery. All right, thanks for tuning into this episode. I hope you got something out of it. I encourage you to read more into Isaac Asimov if this episode resonated with you. I'm Jake Belmont, and this is Hacks from the Past. Take care.